All right, let's start it up. Get ready, everybody. We're rolling. We're rolling. Are we rolling? We're rolling. Rolling. We are rolling, people. Stand by.
Bill Deal for Oldsmobile. Wally McCarthy's Oldsmobile at Freeway 494 Penn Avenue South.
Action!
I have this feeling, it's really true. Somehow, some way, I feel Bill Deal is sitting here with us today. I really do, and having the ride of his life here as we remember him and his life and his wonderful contributions to local music and local pop culture. And it's such a delight, such an honor, really, isn't it, to salute this guy. Bill Deal, you know, just Wizard of the Wax, purveyor of the platters. You know, the guy did early rock and roll on DGY and then over to CCO and has really been in our ears and in our pop culture conscience for many, many years, since the 1950s, and of course a big deal, and he loved puns, bad puns too, on the St. Paul newspaper. A wonderful writer, a guy who was tireless in writing his columns and all the rest. Here to share memories of Bill Deal today, Don Effenberger and Rick Shefchik, two guys who worked with Bill Deal at the St. Paul newspapers and who have maintained their contacts with him over the years. And guys, thank you so much for being with us. Feel good to remember, doesn't it? Bill wants us to remember him with a laugh and with stories, because that's the way he was, really. I can see him pitching records like frisbees into crowds of teenagers when he go out to MC Tony Andreessen Clayo, Sock Hops, that's what they were called, right, back then, the disc jockeys. Charlie Boone, many years our good, beloved, late lamented friend from CCO Radio, started out in Fargo at KFGO, and he would, when he wasn't on the air, he'd go in the evenings, take his little phonograph and take it out to Sock Hops and play records for the kids, and they loved it. Yep. He was so good at it and connected so well with the young people, which Bill Deal did, and I've drawn these parallels between Bill Deal and Dick Clark, both very much at home with young people, anybody really, but they connected, even though they were of a different generation, connected eye to eye with the kids.
You know, Dick was always referred to as America's oldest teenager, right, but when he really got started in the business, he wasn't that far removed from being a teenager.
A very young guy.
And that is not the case with Bill. You know, Bill was what would you think? Maybe 15 years older than
about
Dick Clark?
That. I'd say that's
something
close.
Like that.
Mid 30s. Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, when you're doing rock and roll,
gee, that seems young now, doesn't it?
but you know, when you're doing rock and roll, 15 years is an enormous gap.
Is.
So for Bill to have worked so seamlessly with all of these teenage crowds and all of these teenage bands, and to have everyone universally think, if Bill Deal is here, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And it wasn't like, if this old guy with a bow tie shows up, it's going to spoil our fun. It was the opposite.
Exactly right. So there was this total and genuine connection, despite the age differential, between Bill and Dick Clark and the kids. And they loved him. And again, I do believe that both Dick Clark, I mentioned this last hour, Dick Clark and Bill Deal made rock and roll less threatening to parents. They were worried about their kids being poisoned by this terrible thing called rock and roll with Elvis the Pelvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and all the rest. But
well,
boy, if these nicely dressed, well-groomed guys like Deal and Clark would embrace this thing, it might be okay for Johnny and Sally to buy a record, huh?
Well, Bill famously criticized Elvis Presley for his bump and grind act.
Called him a male burlesque queen or something. Yeah, right.
But that didn't mean that Bill didn't appreciate Elvis's talent and didn't like rock and roll music. That was far from it. He just thought that there were boundaries, there were limits, and if you crossed over it, he would call you on
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So as you say, if Bill was going to MC a show with a rock band, if Bill was going to work with them, you kind of knew that they were okay because if Bill Deal says so, it's true.
It's got to be good. Yeah. We played a record that was big here locally. It came from a local band called the Castaways. About what year would it have been? 63?
65. Summer 65.
65. Yep. Bill was just about to leave rock and roll radio and go over to CCO. But this would have been, you know, something he would have played, I think, before he left the
rock absolutely.
And roll.
Oh,
sure. And a big hit, number 12 nationally, Liar, Liar. We went out to, we closed out hour one with it. The Castaways, you got some great, in your book, everybody's heard about the bird you talk about. Maybe you could revisit the story of the castaways, and they had a little dust-up on stage one night, didn't they? Like the Everly Brothers, where one of them smashed his guitar.
It wasn't too far removed from that. They were playing at Mr. Lucky's, which was sort of the prime spot for big hit bands. And you have to go back to the summer of 65 and realize that this was the number one song in Minnesota. It was getting played constantly. You know, Bill Deal probably got sick of it. He played it so often. But, you know, so these guys are huge stars in their hometown, and they're still just out of high school. In fact, their drummer was, I think, maybe only a junior in high school at the time. Mm-hmm. So the pressure of being that popular definitely got to them. And they had a couple of them got into a fistfight on stage one night at Mr. Lucky's. And in trying to patch it up a couple nights later, the fight resumed with another member of the band. And they ended up kicking their bass player out of the group. And this is just on the cusp of them basically breaking all over the country. They weren't quite aware of it at the time, but their record was number one in Los Angeles, was number one on many markets in the East Coast. Internationally, it was number one in several
this
markets.
This is Liar Liar.
This is Liar Liar. And they really weren't aware of that. Their manager, Ira Heilitzer, who was Amos's son, called them to a meeting at the office, and he says, listen, guys, look at all these charts here that I got on the table. You're number one here. You're number one here. You're
Sweden.
Number one here. Sweden.
Brazil.
Brazil. You know, Miami. And where are you booked to play Saturday night? International Falls.
You've made the big time now.
Yeah. Well, he said, this is going to end right now. We're blowing up the schedule, sending you out to Los Angeles. And that was exactly the point at which they went from a five-piece to a four-piece because of the fight they had.
Gave a whole new meaning to Castaway.
Yes, that's right.
And, boy, love these inside baseball stories. You capture so many of them so wonderfully in your book. Boy, oh, boy, third to printing. Everywhere I go, I see the book out there. And, Rick, congratulations. It's a great – it's more than a story, a compilation of stories about the rock and roll bands here in the 60s. It's about our pop culture. You learn a lot of Don Effenberg, a lot of history that happened around here.
Definitely, and all of the atmosphere of the times and groups coming together, falling apart.
Well, you know, music always reflects its time.
It does.
And that's why that story, you know, beginning with Augie Garcia and then right up through the end of the 60s, you know, where the Underbeats go to Los Angeles to become Gypsy. The changes that took place in those
right.
20 years are just mind-boggling.
Augie Garcia's family often listens to this show, and we hear from them. Angie writes us quite often by email, and so nice to have them out there. Augie Garcia, for those of you who may not know, is dubbed the godfather of Minnesota rock and roll with Hi-Yo Silver and all these great songs. Huh? Terrific guy. So we really, really have quite a pedigree here, don't we, when it comes to good rock music.
I've always loved the opening line of your book. In the beginning was Augie Garcia.
Almost a religious experience.
Genesis 12? No.
Let's get to some more of the music that Bill Deal and, of course, the other jocks around town. But Bill pushed these really hard. The Gestures from Mankato. And that was not their original name. I think it was Gestures, wasn't it?
They were about to release their first record, Run, 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 when somebody did a little research and realized that there was a couple of other bands around the country using the name Gestures, and they had to, at the very last minute, change the labels. And they thought of
a big magic marker.
Well, it was almost that crude back then. But at the last minute, after rejecting all kinds of crazy names, they decided, well, let's keep it as close to Gestures as we can, and they just changed it to the Gestures. Even though Gus Dewey, their guitar player, was afraid that Gestures would be taken to mean obscene gesture.
Okay, so we got the song, and it's a good one. This song, The Gestures, their song Run, 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 many people liken it to kind of a Beatles-esque kind of the composition. Boy, there's some hot guitar work going on here, too.
Yeah, this is Dale Menton and Gus Dewey. But, you know, what I listen to when I hear this record is Waterston's drumming. It's a very unique pattern here that Lou Regard actually changed after hearing their first version of it. And he said you got to double time on the chorus to really get a dynamic feel.
And Lou was right.
He was.
Lovable Lou Regard. Worked with him at KDWB. He would go on to become Lou Waters at CNN News.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the Gestures and Run, Run, Run. Bing there.
Run, 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 baby.
Dale Menton out front there with the guitar and that great, great drum work. Rick Chefchick, the drummer.
Bill Waterston.
Bill Waterston. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, he could really pound him. He was a little kid, too. They had to put phone books.
So he could reach the pedals like driving a car when you're 5 years old. Yeah. That was a number 44 hit nationwide, but locally in big markets. I think New York. I think Chicago, maybe.
Florida,
and L.A.
Well, L.A.
And here,
well.
Number one, run by a Mankato group, The Gestures.
And the reason it didn't do any better than 44 nationally was that this was the point at which Soma Records was having trouble with distribution. The Gestures, in particular, would find this out when they were touring. They went both east and west. They went out to the state of Washington. And the kids would come up and say, boy, we love that record of yours, but we can't find it anywhere. Buy it.
Small problem.
Yeah. It turned out to be a huge problem for them. They lost a lot of money because of the sales potential that they lost.
All this about Bill Deal, a guy we lost 2 days ago, but his spirit and legend will live on, and we're plowing through his life today, and we're doing it with great zeal and fun, which is the way he would like it. Made such a contribution to our lives here, a very positive one. We're going to continue with Rick Shevchik and Don Effenberger and Bobby Jay and yours truly, Stan Turner, here. And any of you who want to get in on the fun, you want to give us a call if you've got some memories of listening to Bill or meeting him sometime. As I said, maybe you caught one of those flying 33 and a third LPs he used to throw out in the audience there at the Sock Ops. Let us know. You can call us at 651-275-1220. Love to hear from you.
Playing your song. Thanks for listening to the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show on Club 1220 KLBB.
For five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Ouija dollars, can you repeat the payline slogan from our last WDGY newscast?
No.
Oh, you don't know the slogan, Dennis?
No.
It would have earned you $5. Here's the slogan. It's such a comfort to take time out for Ouija and leave the music to us. Well, better luck next time out there in Roseville, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you for being a deal dialer, Dennis. Bye.
On WDGY, Brooke Benton. And survey song number 22, Fools Rush In.
I wonder if Bill O'Deal was feeling a little foolish there. That is a nope that will live in infamy when that guy said nope. every radio host nightmare.
Yeah.
Did you like that song? Did you like that song? Did you like what we just did? No, not really.
Didn't that guy call in, too?
Yeah, he did. He didn't know the answer.
That?
Yeah, so those are the times. The times being about, Bobby, 1957, right?
That's right,
there,
yeah.
An air check. And by the way, this is KLBB, 1220 on your AM, not DGY. Mm-hmm. But, of course, we're celebrating a guy who made his first big splash here in the broadcast market on 1130 in those days, WDGY, Bill Deal. Yes, Bill is gone, and we're remembering him as we will often. And Don Effenberger and Rick Shevchik are in the studio with us, two guys who knew him well, worked with Bill. He was a newspaper man first and foremost, wasn't he? He had what would Cannon have called him? Ink-stained wretch.
Ink-stained
wretch.
Yes. Printer's ink
and
in his
Bill
veins.
Dull.
Yeah, yeah. What's that?
Bill Dull.
Bill Dull. Steve Cannon used to, that's right, Bobby. Bill Dull. Bill Dull.
It's a good time also to talk about his amazing voice.
All right.
And he told this story often about when he and Helen were traveling in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
And he's in a gift shop, and his booming voice comes out. And suddenly a woman a couple rows over says, I know that voice. That's Bill Deal.
This is over in Scandinavia.
Yeah,
yeah. Bill, you can't duck out on your notoriety, no doubt about it. Got to ask you guys, could there be a Bill Deal in today's world, broadcast market, music world?
It's almost impossible to imagine, really. For one thing, local personalities as such barely exist anymore on the radio. You know, so some of the popular morning shows certainly have created personalities, but not in the sense of linking it to the music and going out and being seen in public and you know, hosting dances or something like that. Also, the control of what is done on your radio station has pretty much passed out of the hands of you know, any one individual. In fact, this was starting to change by 67 or so, which is something that I point out in my book, that there really was a very small window in all markets for the rise of the personality DJ and the ability to get local records on the air. All of that is gone, and has been gone for such a long time that I think that's one of the reasons why we're sort of celebrating Bill now, but trying to remember that era, because it's gone for a long time. Left WDGY 50 years ago.
Wow. We have a cut from Bill talking about his appearances that he used to make, and let's listen to what he has to say.
I've been Blazing Way for a little over a year. So it was about 58. I was Blazing Way in 57, the Top 40 show. And this person said, Bill Deal? I said, yeah. I said, is the Bill Deal that's on here? Yeah. I'm so-and-so of the Chamber of Commerce here in St. James, Minnesota. And we want to put on a dance here for the kids. We've got a local band. And we're wondering if you would come down to St. James, Minnesota, and MC and make an appearance and sign some autographs, because the kids down here, they all listen to you, Top 40 show. And I said, yeah, okay. I said, yeah, I can do that. They said, we'll pay you. What do you charge? And I didn't even know they were going to pay. And I said, $50. And for the next 10 years, $50 was it. I never changed. I only got $60.
Oh, wow. Bill, if you'd only known. He could have walked out with 65 if he had asked for it.
Yeah. If he worked hard at it.
If he worked at it. Bill Deal, that part of your six-hour sit-down, nonstop interview with Bill Deal. Thank goodness that you taped it. What was going on in the background? Is the TV on or something? What's going on there? I hear people.
Oh, no, I think that's just the poor quality of digital recording. What was going on in the background was Helen listening into offering prompts every now and then.
Bill's lovely wife, Helen, and maybe someday we can get her on the radio here.
I think she'd be outstanding.
She's got great stories. Bobby.
I wonder if that local band they were talking about was the Gestures down in the St. James area there.
Because the story Bill was telling goes back to 57 or 58.
Oh, okay.
He'd really only been on the air for a while. Mm-hmm. And DJs really weren't doing much of this.
Yeah.
He almost created that. I mean, really, he gets a cold call from St. James, and he said, we've hired a band. Would you come down and MC? Never occurred to him before. So he said, sure, I'll give it a go. And that created a whole other part of his life that was huge.
And Charlie Boone got the bug up in Fargo and did the same thing, and it just spread. Bill Deal was the founding father of a lot of stuff.
Yes, he was.
Bill Deal, I'm going back to an interview. Bobby, thank you for finding this. This was done by a guy named Jim Karnstadt in the Go-Go Spotlight. What was that? Is that sort of a showbiz sheet around these parts way back when?
Doesn't ring a bell with me.
I think it was more of a shopper type.
A shopper, okay. Yeah. Well, we got some good stuff because Karnstadt sat down with Bill and asked him, Twin City of Go-Go, this is Karnstadt, Bill, how can you afford to give away prizes at dances? This will be back in what you're talking about, doing the sock hops. Mm-hmm. How can you afford to give away those prizes at dances? Well, just between us folks, before I give you the answer, it didn't come out of his pocket.
of course not. He
was giving away promotional copies of the raid, but that's fine. Anyway, Bill answered, well, I'm unmarried, don't smoke, and I'm certainly not a drinker, so it doesn't put a big dent in my pocketbook. Next question. With what top stars have you been associated with? Because he's a movie reviewer and a movie maven. Bill's responsible just about any of the stars. Grace Kelly and I had to share out of the same lemonade glass. I stayed at Robert Mitchum's house numerous times, and I've hobnobbed with Bing Crosby. How many of us, Bobby, can say we've hobnobbed with Bing Crosby? Also, my work, he says, necessitates interviews with a great many stars, both in the movie and the recording industry. Interviewer, being a personality, do people bother you much? Bill, they don't really bother me, but I do get calls 24 hours a day from people asking all kinds of wild questions. Girls will call me with their personal problems, but I don't mind that because it's quite flattering if I can help someone who really needs it.
Yeah.
Question, what general advice can you give to somebody following a career like yours, Bill? They should have an appreciation for the arts and a solid background in English. Mm-hmm. We don't communicate by smoke signals anymore.
He used to tell this great story about closing time at bars where people would call him up to answer a bet question that they were fighting at the bar over who won the Oscar in 1954 for.
And if I know Bill, he could answer it too.
He could. Right? Oh, yeah.
Sure. Well, back to the music. So many wonderful outfits were playing here and got their start here, not the least from a push by Bill Deal, too.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. It was a very big deal to get your, pun intended, to get your record on the air, both at KDWB and DGY, the two top 40s, the giants here. And they did. You know, I have a theory that, sure, they're kids' stations. I am sure there were a lot of closet adult listeners, too, back in the day, too.
Right.
They just wouldn't admit it. They liked this stuff.
Well, even the top 40 at that time, only half the songs were rock.
That's right. You know, they were. You had Lawrence Welk on the charts.
Yeah.
You had all of that stuff.
Prez Prado.
Right. So that gave the lie to the thing. It was just a kids thing, the top 40.
Sure.
Wasn't it ill. All right, let's talk about this group called The Accents, a group that Bill was familiar with and probably promoted many times.
Many times. They were from Bloomington. They were considered to be a bit more on the R&B and blues side when they first got started. But their big breakthrough hit in the local market was a cover song of a Lonnie Mack cut from his album The Wham of the Memphis Man, which was huge among local musicians. Very influential album. And their drummer, Tom Nystrom, had a fantastic singing voice, and this was always his showcase whenever The Accents.
He also known as Tom Green.
There is a bit of confusion sometimes that you think that Tom Green and Tom Nystrom are two different people, but they were the same
guy.
Right.
With the same great voice.
Yes.
Exactly. And the same great band here, The Accents, and why?
Sometimes I get so lonely.
Sound pretty good to you locally, and sounded pretty good nationally too, huh? Rick Shevchuk?
The Accents were another band that was so big here in the local market, but they and the Underbeats and Gregory D and the Avantes were considered the big three, and none of them actually had a song that made the national Hot 100 charts. It's kind of hard to figure out. Luck of the draw sometimes, Sometimes distribution makes a difference. Sometimes a DJ taking a record and liking it and getting behind it makes a difference. It just didn't happen for those groups.
For the Trashmen, it did happen. They had a number 4 hit with Surfin' Bird. And we talked to Tony Andreessen live just a bit ago. And speaking of Tony Andreessen, back in 1964, after Surfin' Bird was really catching fire, Tony and the Trashmen were on the West Coast out in California getting ready to do a tour out there. Bill Deal got him by telephone, and here's the interview with Bill and Tony.
Right now, on the Bill Deal Show here on a Sunday afternoon, an early Sunday eve, we're going to be checking with the Trashmen, because right at this very minute, they're ready to report. And so let's get a WDGY Trashmen report. The Trashmen are on tour in the United States, their first major tour of the United States. And on the Trashmen's agenda, California, the great Pacific Northwest cities, you'll hear exclusive reports from the scene on WDGY. Well, hi there. We're ready with another WDGY Trashman's report. And which Trashman is this?
This is Tony.
Well, Tony, Tony Andreessen. And where are you phoning from, Tony?
Pismo Beach, California.
When'd you get in there?
Last night.
Well, Tony, are you playing tonight, or are you just getting settled and getting into the area?
We're going to drive to Los Angeles tonight, and we play in Los Angeles tomorrow night, Sacramento Wednesday.
I see. And, Tony, where have you been playing?
Well, we played in Phoenix, and before that we played Oklahoma City, Tulsa.
Okay. I've got several questions here and several things to talk to you about. I want you to hang on to the line right after we get done with the report, Tony, because I've got several things here. I want you to be sure to phone in next week, for example, here on WDGY with more exclusive reports. And a lot of the fellows and girls have been asking me to ask the Trashmen, as you travel across the country, do you notice whether the fellows and gals dance any differently in the areas where you've been on tour, different from what they dance here?
Oh, yes. Every state varies. It's mostly the same. Of course, out here in California, there's a lot of dances that we haven't got yet in Minnesota.
Such as what, Tony?
Well, the dog is real big here.
And surfing, too?
Surfing isn't as big as it used to be. The music, Hot Rod, is in now.
Uh-huh.
And blues is starting to come in a little bit down here, which surprised me.
Yeah, so that surprises me, too. How is the Bird Dance Beat and Surfing Bird doing in the areas where you've been?
Bird Dance Beat is the one that's taking off now.
Uh-huh.
Surfing Bird was here. Of course, that's what they know us for. But Bird Dance Beat, it's climbing up on the charts out here now, too. They're playing it a lot.
Well, just wonderful. And I noticed that on the charts, the national charts, that the album is way up there, too.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't? Well, the album, I think, is in the top 50 sellers now in the United States, and as far as albums go, that is just tremendous. And Bird Dance Beat continues to climb on all the national charts, and they put that on the national chart, those stars in front of it, and that means it's a real red-hot record. So, Tony, you should be sure to tell the boys that they're getting hotter all the time.
Oh, I sure will.
Now, you're heading for where tonight? Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, right.
And then where do you go from there?
We go to Washington.
I see. You're starting to make the big circle then, huh?
Right.
Well, it's been a great tour for you so far, and I want you to continue to give us those exclusive reports here on WDGY.
We surely will.
And, Tony, I want to thank you very, very much for being with us here on the Bill Deal Show.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, you hang on for just a minute. We're going to continue with the survey because we're right in the middle.
Bill. Bill and Tony Andreessen, 1964. Yeah, the Trashmen out there on their West Coast tour. What do you think about that, guys, huh?
Were those exclusive reports?
Those were exclusive. They don't get any more exclusive. And Bill, you could tell, was surprised, wasn't he? He said,
About the blues.
I'm surprised about the blues, yeah. And what about that dance, the dog? We don't want to go there, do we? Yeah. No, don't talk about the dog. Anyway, that's how it was, folks, back in 1964. Bill kind of winging that one right there, I think. Yeah, and it was fun. Fun to hear. It was really a novelty to be able to hook up with, you know, a big band like that from the local area here.
That had never happened before.
Yeah, right. So he was breaking new ground right there. Let's talk about Bill Deal and back on his emceeing work. He had some notable appearances. We'll talk about the Beatles in 1965, but Rick and Don before that, I think it was about the year before, Big Reggie's out at Danceland near Excelsior. Rolling Stones, a group that nobody really knew much about.
Yes, and that includes Reggie Colahan. Didn't know much about them, but they were from England.
the booker, the promoter.
Exactly. But they were from England, and this is just after the Beatles had hit and the British invasion was underway, and Big Reggie couldn't get the Beatles. They weren't touring in Minnesota that year. So he thinks, well, I got to grab one of these groups. How about these Rolling Stones? So he books the Stones, but he booked them before they had even a national hit. They had never had a song on the charts in the Twin Cities. So it's understandable that they only drew 350 people to the this massive ballroom out in Excelsior.
Then one version I heard is that he got scared and didn't do any publicity either because of fears of Beatlemania.
Yeah,
Actually, that goes back to the Beach Boys.
Oh, really?
He got a huge coup the year before in 1963.
Bill did?
Big Reggie did.
Big Reggie did, okay.
Booking the Beach Boys into Danceland before Surfin' USA became a hit that summer. So by the time the Beach Boys appeared, they were a massively popular band, and there were kids were trying to break in the windows and sneak in the back door. And
some things don't change.
You couldn't park, within 3 miles of the place.
Back to the Stones and Bill Deal out at Big Reggie's. Bill got a look at Jagger and Keith and didn't like what he said. We'll revisit some of that and his impressions. He never held back, did he, Bill Deal? He told you what he thought.
His opinion was going to be offered to you.
It was indeed. We'll be back with our remembrance of Bill Deal in a minute.
Call 651-275-1220, the Wolf Brewing Company. All request and dedication show with Stan Turner. He's on Club 1220, KLBB.
WDGY and survey song number 20, Maurice Williams singing Stay, number 20 all across Ouija Land, USA. A WDGY.
I think we're going to bill DGY for promotional fees today. Huh? What do you think? Now, we're reliving this wonderful life led by Bill Deal. We've lost Bill. He passed away at age 91 this past Wednesday, and we want to take time today to salute this wonderful guy, this big influence on our pop culture, pop music landscape right here, and to help us with the chore, couldn't pick two better guys, Don Effenberger, our pop music guru, and pop music guru number two, or number one, whatever it is. You can split the difference, guys. Rick Shevchik here. Thank you guys for being on board. We were talking about the Rolling Stones, I guess, first appearance in Minnesota back in 64, was it about there?
Yes, it was June of 64.
64, Bill Deal is brought out to do some emceeing, and he lays eyes on the Rolling Stones for the first time, and he doesn't much like what he sees.
Well, apparently they'd been on the road, basically for 10, 12 days straight, came right over from England. I don't know how many changes of clothes they brought with them, but Bill felt as though...
Maybe none.
His lasting memory of Mick Jagger was the dirty collar on his shirt and how all the pores in the back of Mick's neck were filled with dirt.
Mm-hmm. Lovely memory.
Yes.
Greasy hair, dirt under the fingernails, too, as I recall Bill's telling. So, shall we say not, put him down as not a big fan of the Rolling Stones right away. Next year, Rolling Stone, that as you already talked about here, the promoter was worried that because the Stones were an unknown quantity, they wouldn't draw much out there. A dance land right out by Lake Minnetonka.
Right.
The promoters brought in a hot local band, our good buddy Mike Wagoner and his group, The Bops. Tell us about them.
Well, that was the first band that Bill ever worked with extensively. Once he started matching up ballroom owners to bands, Mike Wagner and the Bops were really at the top of the game here in the Twin Cities. So Bill booked them all over the place. Mike and Bill became fast, lifelong friends. And it in this particular case, Big Reggie thought that Mike Wagner and the Bops would be a draw. Unfortunately, apparently nothing was going to save that show. But the Bops did what they could. Mike told me years later, he said that, we played all the same kind of songs that the Stones did, but they were from England and considered to be hip, and we were just, the local guys. But Butch Manus, the bass player, said, when we played, the kids all danced, and when the Rolling Stones played, the kids sat down and drank Coke.
Well, here's what Mike Wagoner, the Bops, they had to be played this one. This is a big hit for Mike locally here. Baby, and Mike's doing the lead vocals here. Mike Wagoner.
Right on, love.
One of the hot rock bands here in the early years, the early 1960s. Mike Wagoner and the Bop. Mike is still around. Great lifelong friend of Bill Deal's, too. Rick and Don, huh? Collie Wagner doing the guitar work there, huh? None better,
Yeah, he was the guy that the other guitar players would go watch and try to steal some riffs from.
That's right. A great role model, indeed. Remembering Bill Deal, yes, and we're carrying on here with the show right till 2 o'clock this afternoon. Again, if you have any memories, share them with us either by email, request@klbbradio.com, or send us a tweet if you'd like, or the phone, 651-275-1220.
Birthdays, anniversaries, a special occasion. Stan does it all. Call 651-275-1220. The Wolf Brewing Company, all request and dedication show on Club 1220, KLBB.
It feels so good to salute a guy who deserves the salute. Bill Deal, yeah, just a dynamo on the local pop music and culture scene here. A guy with varied and many, many interests, not just the rock and roll and the music and the sock hops and all of that and the newspaper columns and all the rest, but a guy who had an immense and deep interest and deep knowledge of movies, too. He loved movies, and so does a guy named Bob DeFloris, a good friend of ours, who is a lifelong friend of Bill Deal's as well. Bob is on the line. Bob DeFloris, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
How are you, Stan Young?
I'm doing fine. You know what? We're doing an upbeat show here, a remembrance, a salute to, a tribute to Bill Deal. He'd want it that way, right, Bob?
He was something else.
He really
was? He was one of the first people I met when I came to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. You were Mr. Hollywood. You grew up in Hollywood.
We kind of got together because of our interests, and he was such a historian himself and a perfectionist, which I love because he really put everything he had into what he did.
Yeah, he knew his movies, Bob. He really did. And he loved Laurel and Hardy. That was one of his...
When he had the part with the Laurel and Hardy films, I looked at his face and I thought, it tore the heart right out of his chest.
Well, you're saying that he had a huge collection of Laurel and Hardy films?
He had just about everything you could hope to get on Laurel and Hardy, except to maybe one or two missing pieces of film.
And wasn't he instrumental in founding a Laurel and Hardy fan club here called the Blockheads?
He was one of the important people, one of the founders. When I first came here, that's what was told to me. I have an interesting story, if we have a minute.
Go ahead.
Well, it was an honor to go to his movie night parties in his building, his apartment building. And, of course, it was up in the recreation room. He had about maybe 15, 20 people, and it was a wonderful evening. If you were invited, It was something. I mean, to be able to go there. Well, I brought a couple guests up one time, and I said, whatever you do, when he does his presentation, it's all scripted out to perfection. He shows you his whole movies with Ellen going through Europe and everything. Do not talk. And so one of these people happened to ask him a question, and he turned around and gave this person a stare and knocked him across the room. And so anyway, and I said, when he's through doing the movies, wait till he rewinds the film even and shuts the lamp off on the projector. Then you can
then ask your question, yes.
And after that, I think nobody attempted asking questions or anything during the filming.
That's so true.
But he was the best person ever, and to have known him and worked with him and listening to his stories at the dining room table in his apartment there, about Hollywood, man, it was amazing.
Yeah, I was privileged to be part of that, and I do mean privileged. I'll never forget those evenings as you want. And I remember they would show, as you said, their travelogues, their film taken from all over the world, and they would always hand out to people they would visit along the way, a pen. I've still got them. It says Bill and Helen Beale with their address on it, and it said, we are glad to have met you. And they would give these pens with English language on them to people who didn't have a clue who they were, what the pen was for. And I remember one camel driver in Tunisia, toothless guy with his camel, and they gave him this pen, and he had no idea what it was, but he managed to strike a great big toothless grin and bow and wave, and Bill was prompting him all the way, but it was just hilarious. It was fun.
I think those pens are all over the world.
They are. Right?
They're in every country, you know.
They were the ultimate goodwill ambassadors, weren't they, Bob?
Our kids had some of those.
First class, yep. and going out to Hollywood, interviewing all those wonderful stars. Yeah. And really, it wasn't just an assignment for him. He cared about the Hollywood and the people, the actors. And he could tell you stories for hours. I'd sit and listen to him do different stories, and he's going to be really missed.
He really is.
By a lot of people, including myself.
Man, and yours truly, and all of us here, and some countless people listening right now. And one thing we'll always remember, don't talk during Bill Deal's film narrations.
Oh, are
don't
you
do
kidding?
It.
Have you ever seen the movie The Mummy with Boris Karloff?
Yeah.
Well, when he's facing, he's doing the looking back in his magic pool there, and he faces the camera with those eyes.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, better shut your lip,
That's it. Well,
but
Bob.
Anyway, that's how perfectionist he was.
He really was. He really was. What a great friend. And Bob, you meant a lot to him too. You helped him with his film collection.
Oh yeah, I helped him. Yeah. With his, get rid of his projectors, some films, and
how many projectors do you think he had, Bill?
Are you kidding? I think it was over 20, maybe 23, 24 projectors.
A guy needs a backup,
Well, that's what I thought too. I said, gee, Bill, what do you do with all these? And actually, if they needed repair, he would send them out east somewhere. And there was a guy about 80 that would repair these projectors. He had to build a shipping crate, which must have cost a fortune to send it. And then the fellow would charge his services, put it in the shipping crate, and send it back to him. Yep. I thought, geez, that's got to cost, $300, $400.
Sure, easy. Bob, one thing we got to remember here, too, and to tell the listeners, Bill did not shoot with video, and he did not shoot sound on tape. He shot silent 16-millimeter film with a handheld camera. And so he would show you these wonderful scenes of the Mardi Gras with people singing and dancing, all in beautiful silence.
Well, and you know what's nice about it? They're all shot on Kodachrome, which doesn't fade.
Right.
So thank goodness for that.
Absolutely.
Because all those wonderful trips he made are going to last. The color will last.
They will. And they're wonderful films. And, so great. So, Bob DeFlores, thank you so much for sharing your memories about a wonderful guy we'll all miss, as you say.
Well, Thank you again for having me on, Stan.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Mr. Movies, you too. Mr. Movies, Bob DeFlores, grew up out there in Hollywood, right across the street from Ozzy and Harriet and David and Ricky. He really did. So great, great. What do you think, guys, huh? This is a Renaissance man, isn't it, huh? A guy who did everything. Our friend Don Boxmeyer wrote a spectacular story about Bill Deal as Bill was leaving the St. Paul newspapers. When would that have been? About 1996. And it was just amazing. Let's see here. This is great. Don Boxmeyer, whom we lost a few years ago, and we'll never replace that guy, wrote in part about Bill. Bill Deal pioneered the newspaper's movie beat in 1950, as Bob DeFlores was talking about his movies, love of movies. Bill Deal, Boxmeyer wrote, pioneered the newspaper, St. Paul newspaper's movie beat in 1950 after he, Bill Deal, pitched his offer to then-managing editor Fred Heberlin. Right? Bill said he'd write a daily column, handle all television listings, and write a Sunday column, plus a gossip column, a record column, and cover nightclub acts, all for about $2 a week and a peanut butter sandwich.
Mike.
I don't know about the peanut butter sandwich. Yeah. Box might have made that one up.
I think he did.
But I think the rest of it is pretty much on. Huh?
Oh, man. I don't think that there was any level of work that Bill wasn't willing to take on if it was something he was interested in doing.
Right, right. He had a terrific...
Perfectionism is the exact right word.
Absolutely
right. His copy
right.
was so clean, you actually... If he did miss something, you would, too.
You, as an editor, would know that. You had the unenviable job of editing Don Boxmeyer, part I just read, and Bill Deal, some of the greatest writers around. And so
some of the highlights of my life.
Oh, boy. But you got to be the unsung heroes of the paper, I've always thought, are the editors and the copy editors, too. They got to catch the errors and clean it up where it needs it. But you didn't have to do much work on their side.
No, not with Bill.
Well, let's get back to the music and music that Bill Deal promoted. The group called the Chancellors.
Chancellors were out of St. Louis Park.
Yay! I think I grew up out there.
Yeah. and it featured David Rifkin, who later on played a little bit with the High Spirits and ended up working with Prince as a producer. Had a long, long career in music, and he's out in Los Angeles still doing it.
Great.
But this was a cover of a Righteous Brothers song that had been a minor hit in the Twin Cities just a year earlier. For some reason or another, they emphasized the beat a little bit more in this cover version. And this really took off in the Twin Cities, ended up being a number one record. I'm sure Bill Deal emceed many, many shows with the Chancellors.
The Chancellors, Little Latin Loopy-Loo. Here we go. Brother Bill Deal would have been more than a little bit familiar with that song. Welcome, Don, huh? Little Latin loopy-loop by the Chancellors.
He might have even gotten on stage and shaken a maraca or two.
Maybe he would. Would he go that far? I think
there's a great picture of him doing that with the underbeats.
Bill Deal, this staid, lost in the 50s kind of guy.
In his coat and tie, shaking a maraca with the underbeats.
You've got some news about this man who's a member of the Chancellors, right?
No, we're talking about the Delcounts.
Delcounts. Okay, sorry. We'll get to that in a minute here, but this was a big hit, one of many here. This was a hotbed, wasn't it? A real hotbed of local bands back in the 60s, and Bill Deal was right in the middle of it.
With Bill Deal as a DJ and Soma Records and K-Bank Studios, you just had such a perfect stew to create these fantastic
It was
bands.
A hothouse, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Final thoughts, couple comments, Don Effenberger on Bill Deal.
Oh, just going to miss him a lot. He was a newspaper man first, but really was all sorts of success stories.
Okay.
And that's the thing that kind of... It resonates with me. He was a newspaper man first. He could have given that up in many points in his life, but chose not to. And yet, when you hear his voice, you think, this was a guy who was born to do radio.
He really was. Yeah. He was. He straddled both worlds, and it was a great straddle, wasn't it? And a great guy. So there you go. Well, we're going to wrap it up here, our tribute to Bill Deal. I'm going to call in the Delcounts here. You can hear him in the background right now. Let the good times roll. Now you got a little story about one of the Delcounts.
Yeah. Charles Shane is having some health problems. He's always been the leader of the Delcounts. And as part of the billboard given to Tony Andreessen this fall, much of the proceeds of that evening at Mancini's are going to go to Charles Shane's Health Fund.
Okay, wonderful. Great to hear that. Thank you so much, Don Effenberger, Rick Shapchick, and Bobby J. A sterling job as usual there. Our thanks to Bob DeFloris and our other friend, Tony Andreessen. We're going to be a recipient of a great big Bill Deal Award here. So that's our show, folks. Thank you so much. Our tribute to Bill Deal. And you know, somehow, guys, some way, I think right now, Bill Deal is emceeing a record hop and working on his next column. Don't you think, huh?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let's take us out right here, folks. Have a great day. We'll catch you on the Stan Turner Show tomorrow at noon. Bye-bye. Come along with us, yeah. We're gonna win all night. Come on, baby, let me thrill your soul.
From the birthplace of Minnesota.
Club 1220 KLBP.
Stillwater, Minneapolis, and St. Paul.